Mr. Scriven, reel three. Right, Mr. Scriven, we're talking about the Sejanine battle, and you mentioned the radio going dead.
Yeah.
At about what stage in the battle was that?
What, the first battle?
Yeah, the first battle that you were in.
That's when it went dist.
But at what stage in the battle? What, can you describe what was actually going on?
Nothing, it's just went dead.
No, but what the larger...
Nothing we could do.
But what was happening to the other soldiers? What was the DLI trying to do in the battle?
Frantic, trying to do all sorts. But couldn't get the thing. So we had to give that up and put it on the floor and carry on.
So what did you do? What did you do then?
What did we do then? Well, I don't know. It must have stopped somewhere. There's quite a lot of firing going on. The most I'm feeling the first battle, I think, must be for everybody. There's fear in it, and after that, eventually, you get a lot more fear, you know. Well, I've got Salerno, I've got shell shops. Now, they said that's rubbish, no such thing. But there is. If you've had it, you know it. And quite a few got that. And odd things happen. We had a sound major landed at Salerno, put his foot straight on the mine under the water, lost his leg. Things like that. I always remember the padre, Roman Catholic padre, when we got onto the beach, he was on his knee with a chap on his knee, dying, giving him the last rites. So things like that, always in your mind, you always remember.
So at Sejanine, the radio failed, with the DLI attacking at this point. Was the battalion attacking at this point when the radio failed?
Yeah, we lost a few prisoners that battle.
Because other veterans have talked about, quite a few other veterans have talked about being taken prisoner during the battle. So what did you do? The radio failed. How did you...
Well, you tried to do as you were taught, but it didn't work. It was a bit of a jumble, you know.
So after the battle, it said you know.
After the battle.
What can you remember about that?
Yeah.
This first battle.
Well, as far as I can make out, finish up, we went one way and the Germans went the other. That's how it was. And, that's right, and then we hit up for a few days, the Germans must as well. And, then we had another battle. And that's how it went. That was the war.
And how did the radio perform in the second battle?
Pardon?
How did your radio perform in the second battle?
Well, they're more or less followed the pattern, these battles. You lost a few, you know. You always thought each time it would get worse and something's going to happen sometime. You knew that. But there you are, that's how things were. I think anyone that survived it were lucky.
So what do you remember about the end of the North African campaign, if you could just talk us through
it? It's comedy in a way, because you know the DLI, Shane Jones, you march at the trail. Don't want him to change over. Well, to our amazement, when we were doing that, the crowd were all clapping. It's funny. We couldn't march for giggling, you know.
So you were in the victory parade? Were you in the victory parade?
Yeah. Because as I say, don't want him to change arms. It's so funny.
Now, other veterans have talked about, you've mentioned it yourself, that you suffered a lot of casualties in North Africa.
You took a lot of...
You had a lot of casualties in North Africa.
Oh, yeah.
What about the replacements that were coming through? What
the shapes.
The replacements that were coming through. What do you think about them?
Oh.
Other veterans are talking about you had lots of men from other regiments being drafted in as reinforcements.
Mm. Well, there's so many bits and pieces that... I could probably sit here at home quiet and figure a lot out, you know. But it's so far in the past now, I haven't thought about it so much. There were people I thought I would never ever forget, but you do.
Who stands out from this period then in North Africa? Who stands out amongst your friends? Stands out amongst your friends and NCOs and officers from your African experiences?
Yeah. Well, the first amusing thing, well, it was amusing in a way, was a feature called the Twin Tips. And that rather amused a lot of people. Lost a few people too on the Twin Tips. Again, these places are funny names. You think, oh, don't forget that, but you do. I can remember the poor old mules going up on the mountains in Italy and falling over the edge in the dark. Hear them cry, screaming, and things like that stick in your mind. Poor animals. For some reason, whether it hardens you or what, I don't know, but there's a lot of little pigs running round. Now, somewhere I broke to shooting them with the machine guns, you know, pickers. God knows why. Poor little things screaming and dying, and no need for it. Things like that you think about. I couldn't do it now, and I didn't do it then, I couldn't do it then.
Were you able to keep in touch with your family, with your wife, while you were overseas?
Pardon?
Were you able to keep in touch with your wife while you were overseas? Was the mail service very good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to write to her. Like that. And sometimes you'd say more than you should do in a letter. Because she had a letter from the officer, this Captain Harris, saying about my he is cross today. Something I was going off about, I don't know. Things like that.
How did you get in with the local people? How did you get on with the local people in Africa?
No, at all.
Why not?
Didn't have anything to do with them. You couldn't really. Couldn't converse with them. I remember one officer shot and now dead. His batman caught him pinching this officer's shirt. He told the officer, he was an Irishman too. He did no more, got his gun, went off him, bang, shot him dead. Because he got his shirt. Seemed a big price to pay for a shirt, but that's how things are.
Other veterans have talked about trading with the Arabs for oranges and dates and figs and so on. Trading with the Arabs for, you know, for oranges and so on. Do you get involved in any of that?
I'll tell you another thing they used to do, the Arabs. They'd watch us go to a German position, firing there, you know. Or they'd see where we were, and then when we came about away, they'd fire on that position. Where we were, not the Germans, so we tumbled it, and then we give order to any Arabs in the vicinity, fire them, kill them. That's what they did. Seemed a bit harsh, but then it was harsh on us and all.
So what was your morale like at the end of the North African campaign?
The end of the African campaign, what?
What was your morale like as a battalion?
Morale? Pretty good, really.
But you'd lost a lot of men.
Quite a few, yeah. But, we lost a lot more after as well, so, you know. Horses with courses. Right,
Mr. Scriven, so what I'd like to talk about now is Salerno. Can you remember any special training before you actually...
Yeah.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, no, I got shipped back from Salerno to North Africa again. There's about a dozen of us got caught or went bomb happy. And he got shipped back. And he bombed the ship, or tried to, he missed. But it was quite a panic then. But then we're back in North Africa, or they gave us some silly things to do. Then we went back to Italy again. And that was more or less back and forth all the time, going different places. We went to Jerusalem and Syria, all over the place. Then back into action again, and that was what it was like.
Could you describe your memories of Salerno, the landing at Salerno? What do you remember?
Yes, all right.
Could you describe the landing at Salerno?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to you there?
Yeah. The Hampshire's landed first, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I think. We landed about six, seven. Was rumoured they'd got a hammer in, the Hampshire's. But it didn't seem as bad as it seemed, as they said it was. And then it was reasonably quiet. They were fiery, of course they were, but could have been worse. Then we got in then, that's where the trouble really started. That's where we got bombed, I think. There's a place called Hospital Hill. They were firing off there. And we got a real hammering off them.
What were they firing?
I remember one bloke, he couldn't get his hands down. He kept going like this. Every time they were landing in clusters, probably. Couldn't seem to get his hands down from his face. Trying to hide, I don't know. But he got away with it. A couple of them got killed, though. But there again, I was lucky. It's a rotten experience, huh?
Could you describe it? What you feel?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then you get the air burst, so you and God knows what. You know. I thought I'd forgotten all that.
And you were still a signaller at this stage?
Done.
You were still with the radio as a signaller and so on?
Oh yeah. It's quieter. No, I just liked being a signaller, I liked it.
So, in terms of Salerno, how long do you think you were involved in the battle before you were evacuated?
Salerno?
How long do you think you were involved in the battle before you were evacuated?
How long do I think I was in what?
Involved in the battle.
Oh. 10 days, I suppose. I couldn't say for certain. What would you say? We lost quite a few there, I think, to Lerner.
Could you describe Hospital Hill and what that terrain was like?
Could you describe
Hospital Hill, those positions that you had there?
Describe what?
Could you describe the positions at Hospital Hill?
Oh, the Hospital Hill? Yeah, that was half a mile away or so, it's hard to say. More or less, firing vertically across at us. And I couldn't say how long that went on for. It seemed a hell of a time, but. Anyway, a few of us got away with it.
So you were evacuated back to North Africa. What happened there?
Yeah.
What happened in North Africa?
Yeah, we went back to North Africa a couple of times. Then we went to more places than the sailors did. All over the place.
But when you were evacuated from Salerno.
Yeah.
When you were bomb happy.
Yeah.
How did they treat you? What did they do to get you back on your feet, to get you.
When we evacuated from Salerno.
Yeah. Well, how did the authorities get you fit again to go back into the front line? What did they do?
At first we played silly buggers. The doctors or whatever. Now I used to draw things like that and paint. They found I could do that, so I was doing that for a few days and things like that. Until we finally went back. Then we pulled out the line, funny things, to. They go in the head and straight out. That's right. It was, we were outside Rome, battling for Rome, when rumour came up the line that we were going back to. Where was it? Anyway, we're going in the aeroplane. No one's remember that, we laughed. We said, where are we going when we get up there? And an American pilot, he says, we didn't know. So, well, it's whatever you don't know, that's what he does know. So, a little while after he came back, called out, you're off to Simone, you're off to Athens, he called it. What are we doing in Athens or Athens? And of course the war broke out again there, and we had to go and sort that lot out. Now, it's all so strange and weird. Things happened you didn't dream of.
So what did you have to do in Greece? What were your duties in Greece?
Yeah, well, saw places you never dreamed you'd see, people.
Right, Mr. Scriven, off the tape, we've just talked about Germano and the battle there. Can you, any memories of that particular battle?
It was only a smallish village, really, Germano, with a lot of blokes killed.
Right, Mr. Scriven, I'd just like to ask you if you can cast your mind back to what the role of a signaller would be during a battle. You've talked about Salerno, mm-hmm. and you've mentioned Germano. What was the signaller actually doing during a battle?
What was the signaller?
What was his job during the battle?
During a battle. You stay with the company commander, and whatever he wants, you do. He wants a message to the guns or whatever. Well, he'd give the orders to the guns, what he wants. You get on to him for him, and that's a general joke. There's two of you, signalers. One had a machine gun and one had a radio. And he took it in turns, because it was quite heavy to set, you know. Yeah.
And so, how would the company commander communicate with his platoons?
Yeah, you're messing into the other sets. You should be, but like I said, you lose it. You lose the debt, and you're in trouble. You can't do a thing.
Did the radios get any more reliable as the war progressed?
The radio set.
Did they get any more reliable as the war went on?
No. Oh, now they must be.
No, but between 1942 and 1945, did they get any more reliable during the war?
Oh. No, they used to be pretty demoralising.
Now, you've mentioned Seginane and the radio going unserviceable then. Can you remember any other incidents where that happened? Later in the war?
Later in the war?
Can you remember any other incidents where that happened to yourself, the radio?
Yeah. All I know is we had the old regime sets right through. Didn't have anything new till after the war. So we were stuck with what we'd got. Now we've got some newer stuff in Europe, I don't know. But not out Middle East or Italy, anywhere like that.
Now, going back to Seginane, can you remember who the company commander was with you?
Seginane, yeah.
Who the company commander was then?
Well, that was as antiquated as Boer War, actually, almost. No, it wasn't that bad, but I can remember one incident, a thing struck us. Sedgemoor, Germans marching down, singing, marching away to England or something. And we were watching them. And I forget what the outcome of that was. I remember hearing them singing Lily Marlene coming along. Still, we sang it as well. Nice song, that.
So you were close enough to the Germans to hear them at that point. Mm. You mentioned an officer called Harris. You've mentioned Harris, an officer called Harris, Major Harris.
Yeah.
Do any other officers stick in your mind from those days?
Any other officers?
Yeah.
Actually, you didn't come into contact with them like you did your own officer, Major Harris, or Captain Harris. I remember the first MM we got, or MMC, I think, was Captain. God, what was his name? I have it in my mind just now. He did the first bayonet charge we did. I remember him telling them thick bayonets. Couldn't believe their ears. But they did. They chased him, Jerry Wren. Don't think he ran very often, but he did then.
Where were you when this took place?
Yeah, must have been a frightening sight.
And that was your company?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What else do you remember about that, about the bayonet charge?
Pardon?
What else do you remember about that?
Yeah, I remember them yelling and screaming and yelling out and charging. But I forget the outcome of that now, really.
Do you remember your first sight of the Germans close up? Prisoners.
Germans, what?
Do you remember your first encounter with the Germans, kind of close up, you know, prisoners, that kind of thing? Can you describe that?
Like I said, it's hard to realise that they're trying to kill you. You think, Christ, he's trying to kill me. And that struck you so, oh God. Mind you, you're supposed to be trying to kill him as well. I think the Germans were a bit more enthusiastic than we were at times. I enjoyed it more.
Did that continue throughout the war, their morale?
Yeah.
So what was your opinion of the German troops that you fought?
When I first saw them, I was a bit frightened. Bit puzzled. This is what it's all about, you know. It's what you've been training for, and God knows what.